From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Deepak Bhatt, Senior Associate Editor for ACC.org, filling in for the illustrious Dr. Kim Eagle with part one of this week's Eagle's Eye View. Today, we're coming to you from the TCT meeting in Denver with some very exciting clinical trials that could have an impact on the way you practice medicine. I met up with Dr. Peter Block from Emory University, my good pal, and we will be discussing some of the important trials and studies that were presented here, including culprit shock, the Excel quality of life study, the absorb trials, and give you our perspective of what these studies showed. It'll be a good discussion, I think, back and forth, our thoughts on these recently presented, very important studies.
I'm Peter Block here in Denver, Colorado at TCT for On the Scene, and this is day one and two wrap up. With me is Deepak Bhatt, who is from the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, and Deepak and I have been talking about what's been important and not so important here at TCT. Deepak, I think we both agree that this shock business and how you take care of patients who are in cardiogenic shock with PCI is probably the big hitter.
Yeah, it's been a great meeting thus far, lots of exciting data being presented, but I think culprit shock sort of wins the prize in terms of being a highest impact and most immediately impact. A study, well done, randomized, patients with shock having come in with an acute MI, randomized to receive either complete PCI or culprit-only PCI, a question that's been an important question in the non-shock patients with STEMI. And I think surprisingly showed that not only was culprit-only as good as complete revasc, it was better with significantly lower mortality with just going after the culprit instead of the complete revasc.
Yeah, it was better in two versions as well, Deepak, as you remember. It's better for mortality and it's better also for renal insufficiency, which sort of makes sense if you're going to be using a lot of contrast for multiple vessel disease.
There was also a trend towards less bleeding as well, so it was a total win, I thought.
Yeah, now,
probably less cost.
Yeah, this is contra to a lot of the guidelines in Europe, for sure, and although American guidelines don't call for multivessel PCI, the appropriateness criteria certainly do.
Yeah, no, it's the highest ranked on the appropriateness criteria. In fact, I think it's what all of us do, right?
Yeah.
So maybe not the CTO part. You know, their complete revasc in the study, somewhere between 20-25% had a CTO where they were going after the CTO. I must say, if I know it's a CTO, I don't go after it when, you know, patient's got a pressure of 50 and is detuning. But nevertheless, that aspect of it still doesn't affect the mortality part, which, if anything, you would have thought even more complete revasc, even more so than we might do in practice, should be better. But in fact, it was way worse.
We're going to hear more about this. I suspect there's going to be other trials that look at this, and it'll probably whipsaw back and forth. But it is an interesting bit of data, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the complete trial will be the largest bolus of the topic of complete versus culprit-only revasc. May not address the cardiogenic shock part, though.
Okay, let's move on. Excel, quality of life.
Quality of life's pretty good after PCI for left main disease. That's what it shows. So I think it's good news for PCI versus CABG for left main disease, where the quality of life for both are excellent over time. Early on is better for PCI, as you might imagine. You don't have a median sternotomy. So I think it's a win for PCI. The only caveat being that, you know, at least in my opinion, if you've got left main disease, that often, especially in Western populations, travels with a bunch of other multivessel disease. So especially diabetic complex multivessel disease, throw in the left main, those patients probably still ought to have CABG if they're surgery candidates.
Yeah, I agree with you. The diabetics particularly, I always tell the fellows, if the diabetic with left main disease gets a Lemolad, they'll live forever. Now that's maybe glossing it over a little bit, but nonetheless, you can go both ways on this one, and I think a patient's choice is important here.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think you have to bring in the heart team if it's complex decision-making. You have to bring the patient, because a lot of this will be patient preference. I think, you know, for left main disease, not a lot of diffuse disease. I think PCI with current generation DS, terrific results. Very complex disease, again, throw in diabetes, multivessel disease, CTO bifurcation lesions. You know, if the stroke risk isn't high, I would say go with CABG.
I would agree with you on that one. Okay, let's go to one more. What do we have here? We have absorb. Well, absorb has been talked about for a long time now. We've dealt with these bioresorbable scaffolds for 4 years now, 3 years, and it just hasn't seemed to work out.
No, absolutely. I think there's a huge bolus of data about the absorb drug-eluting stent, to be brand specific, as I think we must here. where the data really don't look good. I think we've got to be honest about it. And yeah, maybe some of that has to do with implantation technique, patient selection, vessel size. But nevertheless, you know, this dog won't hunt. That doesn't mean that other generation versions of this, thinner stent struts, maybe the magnesium alloy bioabsorbable stents don't have promise. I'm really still excited about those. But I think what the Absorb program proves is we first need adequate numbers of patients in long-term randomized trials before using these in humans. That's the bottom line.
I would agree. And even in one of the Absorb trials, they were very carefully prepared vessels and all the rest. They did it as good as they could possibly do. And it still ended up not being a great hit.
Yeah, and you know, there's time and cost implications to that. There's real-world generalizability. You know, if in those pristine conditions, the Absorb couldn't beat good second-generation DS, you know, in real-world practice, it would likely have been a disaster.
And we've got
unfortunately, the company has stopped selling it.
Yeah, we've got some pretty good metallic stents out there.
Absolutely. That's the other good news. Yeah. And they might be getting better if we can get those thinner stent struts as well.
Yeah. All right, there you have it, a wrap-up for Monday and Tuesday at TCT.
Thanks so much for listening to Eagle's Eye View, your weekly CV update from acc.org, all of which can be found on the American College of Cardiology's website. So please go ahead and find us online or wherever you get your podcasts.